Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Romans 12:15. Romans 12:17. Never retaliate. Pay back evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17. Never retaliate. Pay back evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Romans 12:17. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 55:22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be shaken. Psalm 55:22. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. In our wonderful study through this magnificent book of Ephesians, we've made our way now through verses 1 through 11. We come today to verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 in this session. Verse 13 in the session to follow. Magnificent, beautiful, challenging verses of God's Word. We're anxious to get into these verses with you to be able to see what God has for us in these wonderful verses. We pray together before we begin our study. So would you join me, please? We understand the importance of being in fellowship with our Lord. And for that reason, we spend a few moments in prayer to be sure that our hearts are properly related to our wonderful Savior. May we pray together, please. Father, we're here today again as an expression of your magnificent grace and provisions and blessings upon our lives. You've made it possible for us to make it through the week with all of the things that have taken place in our lives. There have been many distractions. There have been many blessings. We realize that as we live from day to day, that we face many unusual, oftentimes, circumstances. There are trials, there are tests, there are blessings. All of these unique and unusual things. And we realize that we have that here because you've allowed us to be here on this earth. There will be a time when we will leave this life and be in our Lord's presence in heaven. We'll not be facing any of these difficulties and burdens and tests and trials and even the blessings that we've found we have here. Thank you for every blessing. May we, these moments that are just ahead of us, that we'll be able to receive spiritual fuel for our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, we're asking now the question, why are we alive? I want to let you pause for a few moments with me for you to ask yourself, however young or middle-aged or old you are, why are we alive? Those of you here on Wednesday night were aware of the fact that I, in jest, told about a lot of things that have taken place in our lives in the last few days. New tires, Freon out on the car, sprinkling system not working, hot water heater's gone out, the washing machine is running over. I mentioned those things in jest last Wednesday night only to remind you of the fact, and I put this out before we went on the air, but someone said it should be on the air, so now it is on the air. We were facing, and as all of you face, many difficulties and trials and tests and problems in life. I was trying to get over the fact that when we get to heaven, we'll need not to buy a new hot water heater. We won't need to fix the Freon in the car. We won't need any tires. All I wanted to do is to let you see that we're here today And we face a lot of ups and downs in life, trials and tests and burdens and difficulties. We'll not be able to have that experience when we get to heaven. So the question then is, why are we alive? You're looking today at Ephesians 1:12. You see this verse on the screen. You see it on the back of your bulletin today. With the result that we should be for the maximum praise of His glory. The ones having previously trusted in Christ. We're going to analyze that verse in a few moments, but let me just ask you to look with me at the question, why are we remaining on this earth? Why are we still alive? I believe that Ephesians 1:12 tells us why we're still here. If you're taking points, numbers down, number one, the believer continues on the earth after salvation as a definite part of the Father's predetermined plan and provision of grace. I don't want to go so rapidly that we do not understand what is being presented here. The believer continues on the earth after salvation as a definite part of the Father's predetermined plan and provision of grace. In other words, God wants us on the earth. That's the reason why we're here. God wants us on the earth and has things for us now which will not be a part of the things which we will have when we get to heaven. I want you to see what happened to me while I was thinking about this. If we didn't experience these things, just look what we would miss. And some of you are saying, well, I would be happy not to have those particular things. Notice here, God wants us on the earth and has things for us now which will not be a part of the things which He has for us in heaven. So don't miss it. Time presents its own provision because time is the only time we will have opportunity to suffer, the only time to have difficulties and pressure, the only time when we can know the truth of the scripture that says the battle is the Lord's. This week, Joyce and I visited my brother, 90 years of age, who's been placed under hospice care. I've had time to reminisce, reiterate in my own thinking, my life with my brother over these years. I don't know how he put up with me, to tell you the honest truth, because being 5 years younger than him, when he was dating, the little brother back at home didn't want to stay at home and wanted to go with his brother. And many, many, many times my brother allowed me to go with him as he went on his date with Ethel. I would not have put up with that at all had I been in his shoes. The next time I see him, and I trust I'll have another opportunity before he leaves this life, I want to thank him for his sweet, precious, wonderful willingness to take care of his little brother and to pet me and allow me so many, many times to do things that an older brother really shouldn't allow the younger brother to do. Before we left the other day, my brother, who's blind, knowing that we were in the room, though he could not see us, by the time it was about time for us to be departing, he said, "Joyce, Roy, I want to thank you for being here with me today. I love you very much." What do you think that means to a younger brother and his wife? It was beautiful. It was magnificent. It was a wonderful experience for us. for me to realize that I'm preaching along this line, emphasizing the difficulties and burdens and pressures that we have here, and that we will not have those pressures and burdens when we leave this life. To be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord and beautiful, magnificent daughter-in-law, Sharla, was so precious and so sweet as she called him Dad. And she had said to us privately that she talked to him and said, Dad, I want you to realize that when you go to heaven, you're not going to be blind. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be able to hear. And you're not going to have the body that you have here that's a body that's suffering. All I'm trying to do is to let you know that time presents its own provision, because time is the only time we will have opportunity to suffer, to have difficulties and pressure, and the only time where we can know the truth of the Scripture when it says the battle is the Lord's. Also, the Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's a time now when we can practice Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Point number two, the provision of God's grace demonstrates his ability to protect, preserve, and bless Christians right here in the midst of Satan's domain. I want you to see what I'm trying to get over today. I'm trying to let you see that God has a purpose and a reason for us still being alive. And we must understand that the provision of God's grace demonstrates his ability while we're here to protect, preserve, and bless Christians right in the midst of Satan's domain. It seems to me that I'm able to see more clearly every day how God protects and blesses as we move around on this earth. Number three, the apex, the summit, the ultimate in living on this earth is a Christian living in the echo zone. Now let me remind you of what we're talking about when we talk about the echo zone. It's the grace abounding life. That is exactly what we find in the verse here. We're going to look at it in detail in a few moments, but I'm trying to let you see that the Apostle Paul is telling these believers, and he's telling us today, that God is allowing us to live on this earth, no matter how much we are facing problems and difficulties and disasters and trials and temptations, we're here because he has a reason and a purpose for us being here. The provision of God's grace demonstrates his ability in the midst of all this to protect us, to preserve us, to bless us. And the apex, the summit, the ultimate in living on this earth now is our relationship in living on the highway of God's grace. And we call that the grace abounding life. I'm not going to get into the details of that, but I just want you to realize how beautiful, how fantastic God's plan is for us while we're here. It's the echo zone life in which a believer operates freely under God's total provisions. The Christian is then existing to the super praise of the Father's glory. Now that leads me to let you see how fantastic this verse is. I'm going to move these top pages and let you look. And we are going to back up for a few moments to some preceding verses in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice, if you will, verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. If you paid real close attention to this preliminary statement today, you're able to see now how fantastic verse 5 is. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which, verse 8, He lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. He might make known to us the mystery, the mysterion of His will, according to the kind intention which He purposed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, if you will, please, how fantastic these verses are. We've taken them one by one over the last weeks. We've been able to see how fantastic God's Word is. Verse 9 again. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Jesus Christ. Verse 10. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times. That is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven, things upon the earth, in Him. Also, verse 11, we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. You remember last Wednesday night, we emphasized this verse. We were able to see how God puts things together beautifully, magnificently, for His glory and for our good. So we look again at verse 11. Also, we've obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. Now verse 12, look at it. To the end, that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be able to be to the praise of His glory. Now, I have to tell you that I'm a stickler when it comes to an emphasis on individual words. And I'm seeing some things here that I want to share with you, not to get you too far into the original language, but let you see how these things stir my heart. With the results that we should be, and I've tried to translate these words in such a way that you and I would be able to see how fantastic it is. Notice, if you will, with the result, or results, that we should be to the, or for the, maximum praise. Maximum praise. Now, what I had to do, and I want you to bear with me for just a few moments. When I look at a word in the original language, oftentimes, I don't know exactly how to pronounce it in the Greek. You didn't know that, did you? But I'm going to confess that many times I come to a word and I'm not sure just exactly how it should be pronounced. And I pronounce it and then I double check myself and I find out that I was wrong. Have you ever been wrong? Have you ever made a mistake? Now, I want you to see that this is a word that I was not capable to know how to properly pronounce it because of the way it looked to me. You're saying, what are you trying to do, preacher? I'm trying to let you see something that's so unique, because once we see this, it's going to ring a bell for us. I translated it, this word, E-P-A-I-N-O-N. I translated it maximum praise. And I asked myself the question, does that really translate that word? Is that telling us what God is really saying to us? I want to know what the word is really saying. And so, when I checked it out, I found out I was not pronouncing it correctly at all. So I'm cheating here. I'm letting you see something. I took Strong's Concordance on the pronunciation of the word, and I wrote myself a little note. This is a cheat note. Now, I shouldn't be telling you this, but I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. Down here in the corner of this page, I wrote the way you pronounce this word. It's not the way I would pronounce it at all. It's E-P, and it's pronounced then A-H-E-E, and then N-O-N. Now, you have been wanting all of your life to hear that. I know how exciting it is to you now for this preacher to be able to tell you that this word is pronounced ep-ahinon. You didn't know that, did you? I didn't either. But let me tell you what it means. Epi, E-P-I, means over and above. I knew that. That's a Greek preposition, over and above. And the rest of the word means praise, honor, praise, over and above praise. And I came to the conclusion that maybe I did translate this close to being correctly, because it says maximum praise. But it actually means super praise. God has us on this earth. We're living now. He has a reason for us being here, and it is to bring super praise, honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question I have for myself and for you today, how is it possible for you and me to have a lifestyle that will bring super praise and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ? When you look at this verse, you'll see with the results that we should be for the super praise of His glory. Then it emphasizes the fact that we are saved by His matchless grace, the ones having previously trusted in Christ. And that is an emphasis upon a perfect tense verb, which emphasizes something that happened in the past, some weeks, months, years ago, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. God worked the miracle of transformation in your life. And then He said, in essence, I'm going to leave you here for a few years, a few days, a few weeks, a few months. I'm going to leave you here because I have a plan for you that you will be to the super praise, the honor, the maximum praise to me. Now look, if you will, please. The Christian is then left on the earth for the purpose of bringing super praise to the Heavenly Father. Point four. God is glorified when the Echo Zone believer is accepting what God has and is providing. It's very important for you, after all that has been said to this point, that you see what I'm trying to give you now. Why are we here? Why are we still alive? God has a plan and a purpose. Every morning when you awake, you must realize that God is the giver of that day for you. God is glorified when you and I reach the mountain peak of the Echo Zone, the Christian life, and we're accepting what God has provided and what He has provided in the past, what He's providing now, and what He provides for us tomorrow and the days ahead. Number five, God is honored far, far more when the believer chooses God's plan rather than trying to concoct, contrive, or design His own plan. I hope you're taking these notes, because these are very important for us to think about on a day-by-day basis. Notice, if you will, God is honored far, far more when the believer chooses God's plan rather than trying to contrive and design our own plan. Number six, in salvation and in living the Christian life, we must accept always God's design, God's word, God's way, not our way. All of us understand that salvation is by grace, but many times we don't realize that the Christian life is also the way of grace. Let me pause and let you think about what I'm saying. When you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, it was not dependent upon your good works. It was not dependent upon joining a church or following some church ritual. Salvation came to you totally because of God's grace. That's the reason why the Bible says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. What's amazing to me is when I look at that scripture in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, I look at those words and I see where there is a word that's used so beautifully in a tense in the Greek that is magnificent indeed, because it says, you've been saved, perfect tense. You've been saved in the past, with the result that that salvation continues until this very present moment and will continue on until the end of your time on the earth. That's a beautiful, magnificent verse of scripture that deals with the subject of eternal security. When you go to John chapter 10, what do you read? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What am I doing? I'm giving you beautiful, magnificent verses of Scripture that lets you see that salvation is a gift of grace. But pause now. The Christian life is also a gift of grace. You cannot live the Christian life in the energies of the flesh. The Christian life is a human impossibility. There's no way that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can live day by day by day depending upon the energies of the flesh. The Christian life is also a gift of grace. That's the reason why we spend a few moments before we begin our service to be sure in prayer that we're in harmony, in fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Because the Bible says, be not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being full and filled with the Holy Spirit is not something that makes you crazy or odd or strange at all. In fact, it makes you normal. And as Vance Havner used to say, people are so abnormal that if you became normal, you'd be considered subnormal. Now, you have to think about that. Okay, so in salvation and in living the Christian life, we must accept God's way and not our way. Salvation is by grace. The Christian life is by grace. Now, I'm going to interrupt my message because I want to tell you that you folks give me too much time to study between Sunday and Wednesday and Wednesday and Sunday. And so as I study and prepare on individual verses of Scripture, I move along in my study and I get things all together and I print them and I send them over to Mike and Edie, the secretary, and to be put on the internet. And then when that's done, I'm still studying. And as I continue to study, I come across things that I didn't send them. So they don't have it. So when the service is over, it's always interesting to me how many people come up to see me. But usually the secretary is here, standing with mouth open, ready to get some new things that I did not send. Now, here's what I want you to see. In the meantime, as I was studying Ephesians 1:12, I came across this particular study. Salvation in three tenses. Now, I'm going to do this rapidly because I want you to see that this came to me a magnificent thought. When I think in terms of three tenses, you already are saying in your mind, past, present, future. I mean, that's normal for us. So, I want to show you how normal you are. Past, present, and future. Please take this down. Number one, past. Number two, present. Number three, future. Once you see this, it's going to ring a bell. Number one, past. We're saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. We're saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. I wish that I had hours to talk about this, but I just want to let you see a glimpse of what happened to me as I began to give consideration to these thoughts. Salvation means that we're saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. The sin wall has been removed. Our sins have been forgiven. We still have a sinful nature, certainly. And every day we're bombarded with our old sinful nature. We have to make a decision, moment by moment, which way we're going to go. Whether we're going to be under the control of the old sin nature or under the control of God and His Word and the Spirit of God. So you're taking notes rapidly. I can see it. Thank you. Saved from the guilt and penalty of sin. That's past. What about the present? We're saved from the habit and dominion of sin. These are powerful words. I looked at them and I've thought about it and I put it down. It's got to be something that will saturate your thinking. Our salvation means that we've been saved from the guilt and the penalty of sin. On a day-by-day basis, we're saved from the habit and dominion of sin. We're individuals as born-again believers with the possibility of making good decisions or bad decisions. We can make a good decision and be under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, or we can make a bad decision and be under the control of our old sinful natures. Every day, you and I have those decisions to make. But God has provided for us, now that we're saved, that we can be delivered from the habit and the dominion of sin. Can't do it by ourselves. Can't do it within ourselves. We have to do it by accepting what God has provided for us while we're here on this earth. Does that make sense? Good. Third, future tense. Saved in the future from the presence and proximity of sin. Wow. All of us have our problems. All of us have our difficulties. But what we have to see is, and my brother, I'm sure, is beginning to see this more clearly. All of us need to see it more clearly. One of these days, real soon, if it be 100 years from now, it's still real soon, we're going to be absent from this body and at home with the Lord. So, let's take a few moments now and look at this. We've been saved from the guilt and of sin. Jesus said to the woman, "Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace." In Luke 7:50. And I find there again that perfect tense verb. When I go to Ephesians 2, 5 and 8, even when we were dead in sins, He hath quickened us together with Christ by grace. You have been in the past, with the result that that salvation continues even now. You have been saved by grace. For by grace, verse 8, you are having been saved, perfect passive participle through faith. Wish I could just take time and talk about that a long time. That is so magnificent, so neat. Do you understand? Do you understand what we've said over the years, 40 some odd years here? What a perfect tense means. Oh, it's beautiful. For by grace you have been saved in the past with the result that your salvation continues on and on and on and on, never to an end, and into heaven. Perfect. But notice, it's not only a perfect tense, but it's a passive voice. What does a passive voice say? If it's an active voice, the subject produces the action. If it's a middle voice, the subject participates in the action and is benefited normally thereby. But the passive voice says the subject receives the action of the verb. This is saying that your salvation and mine is not because of us. It's because of what God has provided, and we're the recipients of that magnificent gift of salvation. Do I need to talk any more about that? Isn't that neat? Number two. We are saved from the habit and dominion and power of sin. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:14. Romans 8:12. Romans 8:1 and 2. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. A long discussion can be given on Romans 8:1 and 2. Galatians 2:19. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. You have to understand that when I study these verses, I have to say to myself, you love the congregation so much, you want to give them the literal translation. So I put down literal. For I through law, to law, died, in order that to God I might live. You ought to write that down, folks. This is the literal translation. For I through law, to law, died, in order that to God I might live. I'm crucified with Christ, the Bible says. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Number three, let's move along. We shall be saved in the future from the presence, proximity of sin. There will be entire conformity to Jesus Christ. The scripture says, who are kept or guarded by the power of faith through salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We do not know what we shall be, but we know that scripture says that we shall be like him one of these days, for we shall see him as he is. Have you ever asked yourself the question about heaven? Have you ever asked yourself the question about how old do you think we're going to be in heaven? Or are we going to be of any age? And some have concluded that we're going to be in the 30s because that's what Jesus was. But I'm not going to tell you that because I don't know. I do say this, that 1 John 3:1-2 says, we know not what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Notice these words. The Spirit of God is the guarantee that we're kept to that glorious day. You and I must see that salvation is in three tenses, past, present, and future. Being kept and knowledge of that security does not for one moment cause us to throw off all restraints and fan the flames of the old sinful nature. Just because we know we're free, just because we know we're saved by grace, heaven is our eternal home. We're not to throw off all restraints and fan the flames of the old sinful nature. On the contrary, a tremendous challenge is presented to every saved individual to be under the control of the Holy Spirit and not given over to grieving or quenching the Holy Spirit. The Bible talks about grieving and quenching. Don't have time to talk about that in detail, but we grieve him when we sin and we quench him when we disobey his directions and obey our own directions. God desires to take control of our lives in order that we might produce a life measured by the standards of holiness. The Holy Spirit is a person who indwells every saved person. He indwells us for the purpose of controlling us. Words very powerful. He indwells us for the purpose of controlling us. It is not us using God and his power, but rather God and the Holy Spirit controlling us and using us for his service. Sometimes words can fly so rapidly through the airways, hit your ear, hammer and stirrup and all this, and you can hear it and receive it and comprehend it, or you may just let it go right on past. He indwells us for the purpose of controlling us. It is not us using God and his power, for service, but rather God and the Holy Spirit controlling us and using us for service. Notice the last words. A polluted, contaminated, corrupted soul is not a spirit-filled soul. One of the challenges that I have for myself and for this congregation I love so much is to let you see that a polluted, contaminated, corrupted soul is not a spirit-filled soul. Paul emphasized this thought when he said, "The spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit." Man then has a choice, men, women, boys, and girls, of which way we're going to go. Each person makes a choice moment by moment, every single day. That's the reason why Galatians 5:16 says, walk. Walk means continue to do so. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not be fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Whatever the spirit of the world produces in our lives will be displeasing to God. And whatever the Spirit of Christ produces in our lives will be pleasing to God. May we pray together, please. Father, thank you for the challenge of your wonderful word. We are aware of the fact today that each one of us in this auditorium and every person who hears this voice, as a believer, we know that we have a sinful nature. We are aware of the fact that we are continually bombarded with the old sinful nature's influences. Help us to realize that. Help us to understand that the only way for victory and triumph is for us to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit, saturated with the Word of God, occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ preeminent, first place in our lives, we can have a full, radiant, triumphant, victorious life. We thank you that you provided all this for us. And for the individuals today who hear this voice who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, Father, I'm thankful that I can share with them the fact that you love, that you gave your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for the sins of the world. I'm so thankful today that I can share this good news, that salvation is available to everyone who will trust you. And Jesus said, "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." We realize today again that salvation is a gift from God, and Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. It's faith alone in Christ alone that saves. We thank you for the opportunity to give this message out. We pray that there will be those who will trust you even now. We thank you for loving us, blessing us. We thank you for the opportunity to be here today, once again, to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths of your word. We praise you for your love and grace and blessings. We pray that our lives will be lives committed with Jesus Christ preeminent in such a fashion, in such a way that people who come in contact with us will be able to see that we love the Lord and we want them to know him if they do not already know him. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.